Hey guys, I'm here to tell you about Stitcher. Stitcher Smart Radio, on-demand news, talk, and more for your smartphone or pad. Stitcher brings radio and podcast listeners a better way to listen to their favorite shows and helps them discover new content by delivering personalized audio streams on demand right to your smartphone. How Did I Get Here is now on Stitcher along with over 5,000 other shows. You can listen to us on your iPhone, Android phone, or any of your pads. Stitcher Smart Radio for your phone. Find it in your app store or at Stitcher.com. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio. Let's get down.
And you may ask yourself, well, how did I get here?
It's time for How Did I Get Here? And now here is your host.
Hello, I'm Johnny, I'm your host. Welcome to the show. I have a great show for you today. My guest is singer-songwriter Drew Smith from Drew Smith's Lonely Choir and the band All the Elements. He came by, we had a chat, and it's great. Before we get to that, let me tell you about what's going on with me. A quick plug, if you're in San Antonio this Friday, November 22nd, Skyrocket will be playing at Sam's. So come on out. It's a good show. It's a good time there. I love playing there. They also have a burger place there next door that's delicious. Sam's Burger joint over there. Delicious. So San Antonio, Skyrocket, this Friday, the 22nd of November, 2013, if you're listening to it in this year or this week that it's even coming out. Anyway, aside from that, what's going on with me? My computer hard drive crashed. That happened on Friday. I just got it back like about an hour ago, and it's Monday now when I'm doing this. So I didn't have it over the weekend. I lost a lot of stuff, man. I did not back up everything. Lost a lot of pictures, lost some music. Fuck. Anyway, how do you get music off your iPod? I do have some of it on my iPod. I can switch back over. Is there a program? Can someone tweet that at me at Johnny Gowdy when you're listening to this? Other than that, things are going good. I had a weekend with my dogs. Didn't play with Skyrocket. We played on Thursday at the Belmont here in town. It was okay. The F1 was in town this weekend. I did not go to the Formula One race. I steered clear of that. I hung out with my aunt who came into town, my cousin who's in medical school, and we all hung out a bit and had a great time, family time, and time with my dogs. I spent the weekend with my dogs, and we had a great time too. So you can see those pictures on Instagram at Johnny Gowdy. See some family time, see some dog time, all on Instagram. I did have a bit of a weird thing go down with myself on Friday. We went out to dinner to this place here in town, and we were leaving. There's this guy just like totally checking out every woman when they were leaving, and I was leaving with my girlfriend and my aunt, my cousin. And when I opened the door for them, the guy totally turned around and checked them out. And I said something kind of nasty like, "Hey, perv." Something, you know, along those lines. And then the guy got up and he came to me. And then I tough guyed out. I stood in his face. I told him he was a perv. And then I told him that his hair was really stupid. Oh my God. How did I do that? Why does that happen? I wasn't even drunk. I was just literally became like Stevie Joe asshole. I think I need to go to therapy and work on some anger stuff. What a terrible fucking situation that was. God damn it. Anyway, I wasn't home all weekend, but I did get 16 records from my friend Todd V. Wolfson the other day. He made a poster I made to promote the show around town. If you see it up, you know, hey, say, hey, there it is, podcast. If you want a copy of the poster, why don't you tweet at me? Maybe I'll send you one. Huh? How about that? Anyway, he gave me 16 albums. He gave me old Genesis albums, so, you know, the first few Genesis albums. Even before Lamb Lies Down on Broadway, when they had the weird font. I'm super into this Laurie Anderson album. That's great. I got a Eurythmics album. Got a great dance mixes of Fascination Street by The Cure on vinyl. So thanks, Todd, for hooking me up with that stuff and making a great poster. So yeah, I guess that's a lot of stuff going on, huh? So don't forget Sam's this weekend if you're in San Antonio, Friday night, 22nd of November, 2013. What are your Thanksgiving plans? Oh, God, that's coming. Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving! My guest today is singer-songwriter Drew Smith. He has a band called Drew Smith's Lonely Choir, and also he's got a band called All the Elements. All the Elements is playing this coming Sunday, the 24th of November, 2013, at the W Hotel. I think the show starts around 8 or 9. I think there's a couple of bands. Black Pistol Fire, I think, is the other band on the bill. It's a free show. It's really badass. They have a record room there. And, of course, the W is kind of swanky. It's fun to go out to a swanky place and see all your low-life friends from the east side hanging out at the W Hotel. If you live in Austin, you know what I'm talking about. If you don't, sorry about the inside joke. Anyway, I talked to Drew a while back. Last week, and then I went to his show that night. It was fantastic. I went and saw All the Elements with our friend Joe Hummel as well, playing in the band. Great band. He's a great songwriter. I'm playing his songwriter in the round on December 12th, I think, at the 1-to-1 bar. Check that out here in Austin. If you're in Austin, check that out. He does it all the time. He's got people like Jeremy Nail on there, all kinds of people. He's great. Drew Smith. We sit down. We have a great conversation about music, taking a break, playing, how do you keep on going on doing this? What the hell's going on? It's a great conversation. Here's my friend, Drew Smith. Let's get down.
We're out still on silver pictures. Never tired souls, the kind that would hold and grasp onto me. The streets dump me up, is back onto the highways. The traffic was thin. We own them again, we were idiot kids. Why don't you meet me in my favorite ballroom? Judson's holding Jimmy, his gloss so tight. When I come, Morgan's gonna be on my right arm.
You recorded with all the Elements?
We recently recorded, and then we're in a big, long mess of how we're going to release it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We recorded.
That seems to be like the 2013.
It's crazy, man.
That's the question.
That is the question. I know that we fit right into that mold. We did it in February out at this studio that the Wheeler Brothers own. In Hartley, Texas, and it's a sweet studio. And Craig Lawrence mixed it, or didn't mix it, he recorded it, and he's their guy, and it was a ton of fun. And then we brought it back to town, and it's just been sitting around, and it kills us all, but we're going to release it at some point. We'll see, you know.
Well, what I heard sounds great.
Thanks.
I know, man. I heard some stuff at Joe Hummel's house some point. I can't remember.
Joe Hummel rules.
Yeah, Joe Hummel does rule.
He does.
It seems like there's a lot of purpose with that music. Like, it seems super focused. You know what I mean? Not that the Lonely Choir doesn't.
Uh-huh.
But there's like, what's the difference in the process of Drew Smith's Lonely Choir? You are the sole songwriter.
Yeah.
And it's a revolving cast of cats, or what's going on there?
Yeah, there are, it's been a while since we've played Lonely Choir, but
when you're getting ready to play again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And when it was happening, we had a general cast, you know, like, but I always had kind of, you know, you had your A players and your B players and your C players. Not that anyone was any, but just the guys that were the Lonely Choir that recorded. And
then
anytime we were playing that, maybe, you know, because everybody in this town is playing with six bands, you know. You got to have the difference, or, you know, the different people just in
case.
Well,
I remember seeing you guys. I remember you, though. I mean, Momo's has already been closed for how long?
A couple years now.
How long has it been since you guys played? Since it closed?
Oh, you know, in that time, since it closed, we've played maybe 2 or 3 times.
Okay.
Yeah. But maybe almost a year now since we've actually gotten together and played.
And so what happened when that ended? You kind of slowed down playing?
Yeah. Well,
what was the deal?
So Momo's closed, and it wasn't the only place I played, but, you know, I saw you there good amount. And,
yeah.
We all had a nice little community of buddies there.
Yeah. It's weird when someone kind of pulls the rug out from a place that you kind of, it's not even that you have carte blanche. It's like everyone's kind of working together and then you become like a cog in the machine. Yeah. Like we weren't, it's not like I would say like in a pompous asshole kind of way, like, oh, I could do whatever I want at Momo's. I could say guys like you, guys like me, we went in there and we became part of a team. And yes, they gave us enough rope to hang ourselves.
I definitely felt that same
when
way
we wanted
too.
To. And, yep. you know, we lost money, we made money, but we were part of a team. And it's, I don't have that anymore.
Not that I didn't appreciate it at the time, but I didn't appreciate it at the time.
You don't notice it when it's happening.
Exactly.
You think like, oh, this is life.
Exactly. You're like, oh, I can just do this, you know. We got a new band. Well, I mean, I'm sure Paul would put us in there on a Tuesday night, whatever time we wanted. You guys want, should we play on Tuesday nights in November? Like, yeah, all right, cool, let's do that. That was a very, very
when
cool
he was game. He knew he kind of had that vision where he knew that in order to make it successful, he had to rely on the taste of the people that were putting together shows.
Oh, I totally
smart
agree.
Smart guy.
Totally,
he didn't
agree.
Try to micromanage or control anything. Like, hey, you want this night? You put it together.
Yeah, I totally agree. Yeah. And there's clubs out there that we just gotta, you know, you just gotta kind of find them in the people that are willing to work with you and go from there. You know, that was a really neat place, and I was really, really grateful to be a part of it.
So let's go back. So the Momo's closes and you're like, hey, what's up?
Yeah.
What am I doing?
And I didn't know what I was going to do. And I pretty much stopped, but then that was also when we almost started, All the Elements. That was kind of, you know, it was right around the same time. It wasn't like, hey, Momo's closing. I know that Lonely Choir is not going to be playing very much. So let's start a new band. But it just kind of happened almost right around then, or maybe even a few months before then. And that was based on trying to get away from the Lonely Choir. Not the guys in the Lonely Choir, but just do something different at the time.
It's very different.
Yeah, it is. Well, and I play bass instead of acoustic guitar, and Brian Bacon's in it, and he normally plays in Milk Drive, and he, you know, fiddle and mandolin, and now he's playing electric guitar, and he has like a real kind of, I mean, he's still doing the Milk Drive thing, but he's, you know, he's got like a 90s, you know, he was born on 90s rock and roll, like 90s rock, I should say, you know, like Stone Temple Pilots and Smashing Pumpkins and, stuff like that was, you know, that kind of sound. And then you bring Joe Hummel too, who just hits as hard as he can do, and he
really
pretty
does.
Much just has a, you know, just like, this is, you know, he plays in parts, you know, he doesn't play like beats per se, he really, really looks at the form of the song.
Yeah,
it's like, what beat do I want to be playing here? Okay, every time that part comes around, I'm gonna play this beat, and I'm gonna play it really hard. And then I'm going to play this beat in the second part. And I'm going to, every time that part comes around, I'm going to play this beat. And he just forms, you know, things very simply and,
plays songs
and symmetrically.
Yeah.
Exactly.
He plays
and
songs.
He plays songs.
Yeah.
So, that was really cool. And so we just got together and said, hey, let's just see if we can't be loud and write songs. And then we wrote like seven or eight songs.
And you
right
wrote
away.
Them together? Like in a room?
Yeah.
Three guys.
Room, three guys. Yep.
Joe's really good at that stuff, man.
He is really good at that stuff.
A lot of times the drummer guy, he wants his stuff in the song more than he wants the song to be great. Joe Hummel just wants to be part of a great song.
I couldn't
and
agree
he'll
more.
Do whatever it takes to be in the middle. That's what makes him cool.
I think
well,
you're
also
totally
he's super
right.
cool, but
yeah,
he's, you know, that's what makes him a real asset to a band.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that's how you guys do it. You guys get in a room. Do you commit like a germ of it? Someone comes in with like a little bit of an idea and hey, let's.
Sometimes, but most of the songs have been the idea was born in that room and we get it to a point that's maybe a form with a melody. And usually a chorus is written in there. And usually that's me and Brian. And then sometimes, in the end I'll take it home and do some lyric writing on my own. Other than that, we do everything right there.
Yeah.
The three of us, it's all equal parts, you know, when and if we sell these songs, it'll be, you know, three equal parts, because that's how they were born. So, and that'll be my first time. That'll be my first time ever being like
in a band.
I'm not.
Band.
Yeah.
You're not the main. Yeah. It's not Drew Smith's whatever.
Exactly.
Right.
And that's fun. That's what it's all about.
That is fun. You know,
that's
what's funny. That's exactly when I started a band with Joe, Liars and Saints.
Awesome.
And me
band.
And him started it over lunch. Like, hey, let's start a band together and let's make it be like this. He's really like, he does well in those situations.
He thrives in them. And
I wonder what he's like. I mean, you just hire him. I bet he has to
asshole.
Bite his tongue. No. Well, no, I bet he has to bite his tongue because he can see how things can be better. Like a producer. I mean, he produces.
Yep.
You know? Oh, you produce too. You produce the Wheeler Brothers?
Yep.
What was that like?
That was crazy. A crazy circumstance.
Did you do that during your hiatus time?
Exactly. It was, you know, continuing on my time off period of playing around town.
You need that from time to time. I know it sounds weird.
It's my first one, you know. You've been in this game a lot longer than I have.
I take time off all the time.
Yeah, and it is really good. It is good.
Yeah.
So, and it's not like I was taking a break from something, you know, spectacular, and my career was just like, you know.
And there's like 20 employees that
aren't
working because you're, you know.
Yeah. So back to my story of that, Momo's closed and we were just doing all the elements, and then the Wheeler Brothers were making a new record and they straight up just called me over to their house and asked if I would produce it. And it was a really great time for me. First of all, I was jaded, after spending so much time on just my own stuff. And they were excited about music. So that was a really
good
match for me. Yeah.
Yeah.
And second of all, they were open to, you know, I was less of a producer on the technical side, but more of an arranger and co-writer.
I was going to ask you, what kind of producer?
Yeah.
There's songwriter producers. There's like weird sound producers. There's
almost like a creative. I was like almost like a creative producer / musical director, and they were just really easy to work with. I mean, we would go lock ourselves away for a week and a half and write a whole bunch of songs, and then we go lock ourselves away for another week and a half and write more songs, or we would start recording them. They had a recording studio out there, so.
Where was that?
In Hartley, Texas. It's right outside of Bandera.
Okay.
A couple hours outside of Austin.
That's cool. It sounds like fun. You know, clubhouse kind of mentality. Everyone's hanging out. Everyone's, think tank.
Exactly. And it was everything that you would want it to be. For my experience being away from my own music, it was everything I wanted it to be. So that was very cool. And then they came out with that record in February. It's called Gold Boots Glitter. And they're touring all over all over the U.S. And then
it's fun also when you get done with an album, someone else has to go fucking.
Oh!
And you're just
the
like.
The best part about it, I walked right back and I was like, oh man, now I'm revived. I mean, I really did.
Yeah.
I feel guilty, and I hope that it was mutually beneficial.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
But for me, it was very healthy. I could go out there, drink beer, and do, you know, it was. I did everything that I wanted to do on my projects without having to do all the stuff that I don't like about doing my own projects. You know?
Yeah.
So,
yeah, that's how it went. Fun.
It really was. Have you done anything like that?
Yeah. Yeah, I did it, you know, like, I don't know, 2004 and 2005. I did like six things.
Damn.
I did like two records for people that never came out. I did a record for that band Canvas.
Awesome. I remember
that. Another
band,
Saturday's Radar. The Canvas one was like 8 months. It was like that. I started like a lot of pre-production months before while they were working on the songs.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, man, that stuff is it's great. And I really wanted to do it, but I couldn't figure out how to make money doing it, and it took so much time. And also, I have to be honest, the two bands that broke up, like, after the recording, I was like, what the fuck, man? We just spent like 6 weeks. I spent 6 weeks of my fucking life working on your shit, you asshole. You know what I mean? But I've done that to people. Yeah. I've done that. And, man, you don't understand. We're just breaking up. But like on the other side, I was like, dude, I did nothing but listen to your fucking music for like 2.5 months. Why are you doing this to me, Rob Franco?
No names. No names.
But it's hard. It's hard to get work. You got to hustle work. Yeah. You got to.
Yes. And I've recently had some experience with, you know, I thought that there's a producer and engineer I work with in town named Barrett Walton. Really, really talented. How many of my friends can I mention on this microphone? That's what I'm going to do today.
Shout outs.
But we wanted to start a studio together in the last even 6 months. We tried really, really hard, and he'll have a studio soon by himself, because we couldn't do it, you know, as like a true business anymore. It's really difficult to put a whole bunch of money out and then be like, all right, we have to hustle like 100 bands this year. That's to get so, in.
Yeah.
And then we'll be able to cover costs. And if we get 150 bands, we might be able to, you know, make some money too.
Right.
And then next year we got to do the exact same thing. And it's a lot. And it's, you know, when you think about it like that, but what we realize is when we step back is we need to be thinking about this like art. We can't be thinking about this like a business. And so, you know, as true to what I believe is today's, where artists are today is, you know, you almost have to have a bunch, you know, some stuff during the day that's going to take care of your bills, and then you be an artist at night, you know. That's where I'm at. That's kind of the decision I made of going back to this kind of local musician thing that I haven't done in a while.
It's a tough racket, because when you rely on it and you're in an economy that's waning, mm-hmm. and like the music economy is totally waning, you can't help but eventually resent
mm-hmm.
playing.
Totally agree.
And that's not fair. That's not what 13-year-old Drew Smith was doing.
I was just going to say, if I was in my early 20s, it was really easy to quit a job and then see how long I could go and then pick up another job and do that until things started going again, and then quit that job and then see how long I could make it on just playing live.
So what do you do now for money?
Oh man, I sell books. I sell law books to lawyers.
Where?
There's this place called the District and County. I travel, man. I just travel from office to office. No, there's an office downtown that's an association for prosecuting attorneys, and they write books for these guys. And I'm basically a glorified order taker and inventory guy over there. And I take calls.
It's not a
high stress
job. It's not something you take home with you. So when you walk away,
exactly,
you're ready to do art again.
That's the point of keeping it. And I've had it for on and off for 10 years. They've been really good for me. And when I have wanted the time off, you know, weeks, months at a time, they've given it to me.
That's cool.
And so I've had different part-time jobs. I've had almost every job they have in that office. I've answered phones for them.
Right.
I've shipped books for them.
Do they come to your gigs? Do they go that far?
Man.
Yeah. That's
cool,
man.
Very cool. And
that's a thing. That's like people always talk about, like, oh, Austin doesn't have this thing anymore. But that's a definite Austin thing. Like, all my buddies I have a couple of friends that, like, when I moved here in 1991, they worked at UT in some fucking capacity. Mm-hmm. And they still work there, mm-hmm. you know, in some. And those people all come to their gigs, and it's like a, you know, oh yeah, this guy's a musician. We let him work here,
and we support him by letting him work here, which is, you know,
and it's not happens. Like you don't work when you're there. I'm sure you do.
Yeah. Well, and I, you know, maybe they think I do a decent job, and that's why they keep me.
Yeah.
But at the same time, they give me that leeway to be the modern artist.
Yeah.
You know? So.
So you have you mixed all the elements?
No. Well, okay. So here's a good question. All right. That's a really good question.
Oh.
So going back to Joe Hummel, he works with another band that goes out to LA a lot. I don't know the other band.
Oh, yeah, yeah, him? Yeah. I know what you're talking about. It's always that thing where you're like, you were at the Playboy Mansion doing
yes,
what?
Yes, yeah. Yes. Like, you were on that private...
Joe Hummel on, you know who he is? He's the most interesting man in the world. That's exactly who he is. And when he doesn't always drink beer, but when he does, it's Dos Equis. I'm serious.
And it's
he
with
better listen to this
bunch
episode.
Of, I know,
yeah,
I know.
It's like a commercial for Joe Hummel. Also,
post
ladies,
this
he's
shit,
very
Joe.
Cute.
Yes, he is. And he cooks really good.
He cooks great. That's what I, oh God. And he, you know what? People that listen to this show, I talk about going to his house and going to parties.
Yeah.
And sometimes, luckily he moved down here. I can walk home because yep. that also happens.
I thought you
to
might
there.
Be in the same, when I got your address, I thought you might be in the same spot as he was.
No. Okay. So this goes back to Joe Hummel.
So
what's
yeah,
going on?
They're yeah. hanging out in LA and he gets this guy named Gary Olazabal. And I don't even know if I'm pronouncing his name right, but the dude mixed Michael Jackson Thriller.
What?
He mixed Songs in the Key of Life. He like is this crazy mixing engineer, and that's the song I brought with you today. Is he just, you know, Joe's out there just moving and shaking, and
yeah,
just like gave him his computer and was like, hey, what do you think if you maybe just kind of maybe mix this, Gary? You know, what do you think? Because it's like people he's with was like paying him all this money, and he got him to do it, and he did it, and he sent it, and that's what we've got. But I mean, we couldn't.
So he mixed.
We couldn't do that for a whole
album. Song.
He mixed the song, yeah. And but that's where we're at. That's wow. how far we've got.
Well, there's a lot of guys. You know, I talked to him about like Tim Palmer. He lives here now. He's got that mix Pearl Jam 10.
Oh, you know,
original one and tons of stuff.
Yeah, I've heard of. Just in that same thing. I heard that guy was in town.
Yeah. And there's another guy, CJ Erickson. I remember talking to him about it when he played me a song one day and he was like, what do you think? And And I can't remember if he asked me about Tim or whatever.
Yeah. I can't, I'm not sure either, but it's an interesting little battle because we started this band, All the Elements, as a just straight fun project, not caring about any of that kind of stuff. And so things are going slow, but we don't give a damn, you know. It's just how it is, and we go play a show a month, and you know, if that, and we just give it all we got. We dress up in suits and sweat and
yeah.
just go for it, and no peacefully.
See, that's what I'm
no.
saying about there's a focus to that whole there's a focus to it. That even though you say you don't care and whatever happens and we
yeah.
just get together and whatever, there's a focus to it though. There's like, it's
that's
almost
cool.
like there's this, there's like a definition.
Well, we care about it.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah, yeah.
You know, I shouldn't say we don't care, but we do care about it. I mean, and when we're in there, we're giving it all we got on, you know, on the arrangements and, you know, on what it might sound like.
You guys are doing a show at the W.
Yeah, the sessions.
On the 24th.
Yeah.
Because this is going to come out next week. That's next week or something? It's in a couple weeks.
Yeah, it is.
I'm going to go to that.
It's the weekend before. That'd be awesome if you were there.
I love that thing, the sessions. Very,
you know, they got all
the
records
W?
Behind you
yeah.
and stuff.
Oh, fuck. I should stay.
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely. For your new player, man.
Yeah, man.
Have you started collecting just now, or did you just get a new record player for your current collection?
You want to know the whole story?
Yeah, I do.
I got into it in the 90s.
Mm-hmm.
I was married, and that was something that we did, my wife and I, on Sundays. We would cruise around. We had Waterloo. I can't remember if it was cheapo then or not, but, you know, and then we'd end up at Half Price Books, maybe hit a Goodwill, mm-hmm. and then come home, maybe spend 50, 60 bucks, come home with some records, put them on the turntable and listen to them. So for a while we collected vinyl for a long time. I got divorced almost a decade ago and I lost the collection.
No.
And then I just didn't have the, I was like, iPods came out in that time. You know
yeah.
what I mean? I was in a whole different thing. And so finally my friend Corey this weekend was like, hey, you know, I've got a record player and some speakers. And then I just went and picked up a receiver yesterday, and he gave me like 5 albums that he had duplicates of, and then I went out and bought like 6 or 7 last night.
So Poor Cheapos is gone now, but
yeah.
Of those places you mentioned, do you have, I've got a place of those that you mentioned that I think is the best place to get records, because people, I don't think, go in to Half-Price Books enough to look for a record.
No, there's good, and they've there's got good
really
prices.
There's a really good selection.
Yeah, good selection, good prices.
And I think people, you know, I think that you want to do one stop and you've got a whole bunch of books. Everyone's getting rid of books. And then you have like this little handful of records that you don't look through and you're just like, oh, just, you know, I want one stop, and you just go to Half-Price and you drop them off. And I think they actually buy them there. It's not like you're donating, I think, don't they?
They buy them. I think so. I mean, don't they buy and sell everything?
I think so. I've only bought records there. I've never bought books.
Really? I just got a Kindle for my birthday. So I don't know if I'm ever going to buy a book again, even though that's a weird thing to say.
It hurts. It hurts to even hear that in my ears. But I'm the same way.
I didn't want to get a Kindle.
Yeah. But you have to. You got to go with the flow.
Someone got it for me. And then I was like, fuck, it's this easy. It's again, you can go like, oh, I want to read this book. You're in your underwear, in your bed at midnight. Boom, book, read, go.
It'd also be awesome on the road. Have a little, you know, 1-inch tape machine in here recording your podcast, and you could put it over the air airwaves, you know. That'd be awesome too, but you know, it's like you just can't do it. This is the way you can do it.
It's the way things are going.
Yeah.
Does that bother you at all?
It does, but it doesn't. The thing that bothers me is there is no mystique in following an artist anymore. Everything is wide open, i.e. I'm gonna tell you when I wake up, I'm gonna tell you, you know.
No, I was just about to say, I told 5,000 people yesterday I got a record player.
Hey, well, that's, and I did too, you know, like I'm playing here, or I just, you know, planted a garden and I'm loving it, you know.
Do you do that?
Yeah, I love it.
Are you married?
Yes, I am. Gonna have a child.
No way.
My first kid coming up. It's really insane. But I'm like wrapping my head around it still as we speak. And all I know is that my wife is just like, looks different and is acting different, you know, like, but she has something inside of her and she's like putting this thing together, you know, in her brain. I'm talking about like just like wrapping your brain around having a child.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, I have no idea how to do that. But I've heard that it's normal. And then once it comes out, and then you're like, oh, baby, you know. But it's going to be a baby girl. Her name's going to be Lucille James.
Oh.
And we're really excited and terrified. January 31st. Wow. So, you know, and...
Sorry.
I really feel passionate about this point, though.
Okay.
The modern artist. That's the buzzword. Can you, like, name our podcast Modern Artist?
Yeah.
That'd be sweet. So we have this thing. Wait a second. Where was I in the modern artist plight?
It's the social media and things of this nature.
You would follow an artist and you would just listen to their music. And then, you know, a book would come out or you'd see pictures and it was just like, wow, that is really amazing. Like, wonder what their lifestyle's like, you know, like they're just, look at them, and you see them at a restaurant and you'd be like, look at them, they're just sitting there like normal, like they're just sitting there having lunch. You know like that thing you always say about the really person you're like in awe of, and you're just like, and he was just sitting there was like, you know, just like he was normal, like one of us.
Yeah,
like all of that is gone, you know. It's I know he was sitting there because he goes there every Tuesday because he shares it on his Facebook, or she's at this club every night because she, you know, says it on. And I just think some of that has lost. And so more so than the digital recording and the sounds sounding different, which is a whole nother
argument. The lifestyle thing.
Yeah. The lifestyle of it and of the fan following the lifestyle of the artist is such a different scenario now that it is not nearly as fun for the fan, even though they don't realize it. I don't think the fan realizes that it'd be a lot more. It's kind of like one of my friends always says about going, his date to his sophomore year homecoming was like this older girl, and he just like had all these images of, you know, her. She was so beautiful. And he so just had this major crush on her. But then he like saw a picture of it, like, you know, 10, 15 years later. And he had always, like, even still in his mind, had built up this beautiful girl that he took to homecoming. And then he saw a picture of it. And like, he went back to his parents' house and his mom was like, hey, I got some old pictures. And one of them was the homecoming pic. And she, you know, it was just like, there were two, there was a 15-year-old and a 16-year-old, and they both looked really awkward, and she was not pretty at all. And he was like, man, she ruined that for me, you know?
Yeah, he
idolized
her. That kind
of mystique is gone nowadays. And I don't wish that people idolized me or anything. I'm not saying that, you know, this is all stupid, this Facebook stuff is dumb, because it has major purpose. But that part of following somebody in rock and roll is gone, you know?
Well, also, as far as being a fan, there, you don't have to work for anything.
Truth, yeah.
You know, I can do, for instance, when I was a kid, I liked Ride Like the Wind by Christopher Cross.
Yeah.
It was a good jam for me. Mm-hmm. And my friends. And then we found out he was going to be on Midnight Special or one of those kind of shows that was on in the late 70s and early 80s. And I just remember seeing him for the, like, we didn't know where you see this guy. We didn't know what he looked like. His mm-hmm. album had a fucking pelican or what are those, mm-hmm. flamingo on the front of it. It didn't have a picture of him. You didn't know. Then there's this guy in an Oilers shirt. Yeah, you're like, what? He's wearing, that's my team. You know what I mean? You're like, holy shit. It was so weird. You know, and like, and there's no moments like that anymore. Like, I remember going to school, like, after Devo was on Saturday Night Live for the first time, and everyone just like, oh, you see those guys that were singing that? They were singing Satisfaction, but it didn't sound anything like it, and they threw themselves on the ground.
Yeah.
You know, and they were all wearing yellow suits.
Yeah.
You know, like, those moments are kind of, because you can just immediately, you can be at a club, and someone could say, like, shit, did you see McCartney on Fallon last night? And they go, no. Flickety beep,
yep.
Pull up their phone, step outside, watch it, come back. I mean, you can see a picture of anyone. Oh, have you seen Christopher Cross? No, let me see. You see, yep. What he looks like. There's no, you don't hunt anything.
And I totally understand that that benefits me as a independent artist. The fact that somebody could be like,
sure.
Oh, you
exactly.
know, like, have you heard of this guy? He's playing at this club.
Right.
Down the road,
right,
and we're not there, and it's like, well, let's see if we want to go see him, like, what's he sound like,
right,
and just go right on. And so I don't want to complain, which I already have done plenty of.
No, it's not complaining.
You know,
I mean,
it is.
It's having a conversation about how do we adapt to this new society.
Yeah,
it's a fucking different world.
It really
and
is.
And I'm
there.
I mean, I don't think I hate on it that much. I've accepted it and I go with it. And I mean, I must have posted like 15 pictures last night, but I was on Vicodin and I had just gotten a new record player. I was pretty happy. And so I went to the dentist. I wasn't just like on Vicodin.
nice qualification.
No, today I took Advil because I have 3 interviews. I can't, you know.
Yeah.
If I'm I'll be like, what?
What'd you just say, man?
Yeah, I can't. I lost my place. I do take part in it, and I follow people, and I Instagram, I tweet, and I Facebook, and it really, I feel like it helps you connect with people because that's what people want.
Most.
And
definitely.
I think of myself as a kid, and you know, in fourth grade, if I could have been able to get to write. Just to find out what Ace Frehley was doing all day, I would have freaked out, man.
Totally.
I mean, that would have been amazing. But it almost, I don't know, there's no more. Do you know Frenchie Smith?
I know of.
Okay, he was on here, and we were talking, and he was talking about living in a small town in Oklahoma.
Mm-hmm.
And they had to get in a car and go to Dallas to go to a record store when they were, you know, teenagers,
mm-hmm.
to find, you know, this... They didn't have Brian Eno records in Ardmore, Oklahoma. Mm-hmm, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So they had to travel and like seek stuff out and wait for stuff.
The journey.
That's gone.
Yep. The journey of the fan.
Now, mm-hmm. the only thing you'd have to wait for is to actually be in the same room with them and watching them live. And unfortunately, if you go to a concert nowadays, you'll realize half of those people are watching it through the fucking phone.
Yeah,
still.
Yeah.
They're holding up their phone. They're trying to make sure that they get every part of everything.
I read about some famous band right now who's out there who has a rule at their, or tries to have a rule at their shows saying, don't film us, watch us. And it might have just been less of a rule and more of a,
I think it was Zoe Deschanel and...
And it could have been, it, you know
it was
what?
Her and that guy.
Maybe that's why how I read about it. And yeah. That sounds familiar.
Yeah, I know Aziz Ansari, the stand-up comic, comes out and says, all right, I'll give you guys 2 minutes. Take all the pictures, do whatever you need to do, and then put them away.
Yeah. I think that's a
good
great
way to do it.
I think that's a great
like,
way
to
do it.
Let's go back to having this communal experience, because that's what it is. This is all of us together in one place being.
Yes.
You know?
The energy of a live show is what it's all about. And still, it's our job, I think, to make somebody pick up their camera and be like, holy shit, I'm here, you know? Like,
yeah.
Man, you know, and that
you
helps.
Want that moment. That,
yeah, you yeah. definitely want that moment. But that energy of when you're putting everything out there and it's being met with people, you know, tapping their foot, just eyes right on you kind of thing is the moment that we all kind of live for. You know, if I would much rather play in front of 15 people who had their eyes like right on me and were, you know, had, you know, not paid to come in yeah. and then have, you know, 200 people at a cocktail party, you know, and not being able to get their attention.
Yeah.
'Cause they're checking out their iPhone to see the next show they're going to go to or whatever. That's just how it is. That connection and that energy is where it's all at. I think that's what I enjoy about going to see a show. And
yeah.
the whole reason that I do this is because I want to recreate, you know, I think there might be just a couple people out there that might have the same feeling that I had when I went to a show to go see somebody, you know, I want other people to have that to come see, which is the selfish part about being an artist, but that's just artist or, you know, art is selfish. So,
yeah,
but, that is, I love putting down my, you know, just laying it all down and if people respond,
yeah,
it is, the night is going to be golden, you know?
Yeah.
But at the same time, you can't, if you get the chance to be on that stage, you can't complain about people not responding either. It's your job to make them respond. So,
yeah, that's true. A lot of artists don't assume that responsibility.
Oh,
I do. And
yeah.
that same thing with, like, you know, the club, you know, like, oh, they didn't promote it right. Oh, you know what? You fucking didn't bring in enough people, so now that bartender's going home without enough money for rent, asshole.
Boy, I totally agree.
You know what I mean?
I totally agree.
A lot
agree.
Of people don't ever put those... I mean, I've played in bands with people that do not see that.
Yep. If you've got a bunch of
their
people
part
in front of you
same
listening...
Same thing goes back to being a cog in the fucking...
Yes.
You're part of this team of people trying to make this night work at this yep. place.
And lucky enough to be a part of it. There are a lot... of people in this town that want to play shows at clubs that might not get to go play them, you know?
Yeah, they can't.
There's a...
They don't have enough
a
Facebook
lucky fraternity.
Friends.
Yeah, I know. I know. The fraternity of Facebook.
Well, no, there is... I mean, there's... You've spent a lot of time paying your dues. Where are you from?
Army brat. Mainly Colorado Springs. Colorado
oh, yeah?
was where my dad settled down when I was about... fifth grade, but before that, you know, I was born in Texas. I was born at Fort Hood and lived there for about 6 months and then cruised over to Belgium at an army base in Shape, and then Leavenworth and
Kansas.
Yeah, Leavenworth, Kansas, and Omaha, Nebraska, and Washington, D.C., or Alexandria, Virginia.
Love that. I love Alexandria. Do you ever get up there and play?
Have never ever played in Virginia.
There's a place in Alexandria that has a pole in the middle of it. It drives me nuts, but it's a great place to play.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a weird thing to say, but that pole drives you nuts.
I could totally bring out my dad's side of the family in a big way.
Yeah.
I should get something out there.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff going on there.
Yeah.
What brought you to Austin?
I would listen to KGSR on when internet first came out or was first thriving, 99 or so. I was in college, or, you know, I know it was thriving.
Where were you in college?
Omaha, Nebraska.
Okay.
Creighton University.
What were you going to do with your life at that point? Play music?
About when I went in, I was going to be a dentist.
Okay.
I was 18, and I was still under the assumption that it was not good to go into music. Like, you know, all growing up, my parents were extremely supportive, but at the same time, it was like, oh, well, you know.
Well, I mean, it's
you don't
want
to go.
Yeah.
Exactly.
You support
it's
the
hobby,
but not
exactly.
The career.
Yeah. and my dad got a job at Creighton University, and after he retired,
teaching what?
He was
like army stuff.
He went to school there and did ROTC stuff there, but he was their alumni director.
Oh, that's
what
cool.
He was, and so that meant free tuition for his kids.
How many kids did he have?
He had five. I've got four brothers. But three of them are older and one of them's younger. And so we moved out to Omaha, Nebraska from Colorado. And then I started going to Creighton.
Okay.
And that was, you know, that was really cool. But then I got in a band my first year. And also at the same time, things were happening, like the Saddle Creek scene was starting to come across. So you'd actually bump into Connor Oberst, and you would actually bump into Cursive and stuff like that.
And that was all happening there, huh?
That was all happening there. And I was in a band that shared rehearsal space with both those bands. And what really stinks is I didn't know how good they were. You know, I just didn't, their tastes were way more developed than mine. They were a few years older than I was. Connor was a couple years younger, and Cursive guys were all like 3 or 4 years older than I was. And I didn't get it. I didn't understand why they were so good. And other people, I guess, didn't either, you know, like everybody had their own shows or whatever. And
what was your band like?
My band, a proven fact to how I didn't get it yet, we were like a funk band.
In the 90s,
yes,
late 90s?
Yes.
I was in a funk band in the late 80s.
Oh, check out this name. Brothers on the Slide.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Brutal.
Yeah, that is
brutal.
Unbelievable. Brothers on the Slide.
I blame being 18.
Yeah, totally. You don't know what's going on.
I know.
You know, you're in Omaha. You think something's cool. It's cool to you.
It's true. And we had a damn fun time. And we brought some people out, too. It was you know, we were the Creighton band for a couple years, maybe.
Yeah.
And then I realized I didn't want to be a dentist. And I never did. And the ironic thing was I hadn't taken any classes to be a dentist. I had taken all like literature classes, and they had a bunch of great theology classes there. It's those are obviously, universities have a wealth of information to just dive into and not use the rest of your life, but really enrich you, you know.
Now they have the internet for that.
Exactly, exactly. Now you don't have to pay to go do that.
Listen, I can tell you everything about the producers of Saturday Night Live from 75 to 2003. Sorry,
which
go
is
ahead.
Good knowledge to have.
Yeah, it's totally worth something.
So
let me ask you one other question.
Please.
Let's just go back to, because we're getting into something deep, but I'd like to go back into the shallow end real quick.
Yeah, I'm down.
What kind of funk? Like, was it Ohio Players-based funk, or was it like a Chili Peppers-based funk?
It was, bass player loved Flea.
Of course.
Definitely
played
Chili Pepper-esque.
Like,
yes.
Too much,
lots
too many
of slapping,
notes. Yeah.
Way too many notes. Yeah. Way too many solos, bass solos. The keyboard, and they were older, so really the reason I was in the band was to write songs for the band. I had a bunch of songs and we could jam on them. And so I would sing and I'd play my acoustic guitar, and then the other guys would like jam. So we also had like 2 hour shows of like 6 of my songs. You know what I mean?
Wow. Yeah.
Like, it would just be,
were you guys like into Fish
City
and those kind of
definitely,
guys?
Definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Okay. So, all right. Out back into the deep end. They offer a lot of great courses. You learned about theology, but nothing for your pre-dental med
or
pre-med or whatever that would be.
And so the internet is popping, and radio stations had just gotten on the internet.
Yeah.
And there was this big problem. If you used to listen to radio on the internet, they wouldn't have their commercials on. They would black out their commercials. So you literally wouldn't hear any commercials, but you'd hear dead space for like 3 minutes in between while they're doing commercials. So I'd listen to KGSR and they would talk about Unplugged at the Grove, and I totally envisioned it like this totally different thing, you know, and Bob Schneider was just starting to happen. Yep. He was like really, really popular and was, you know, hanging out with movie stars.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
There was all this, you know, there was stuff that I thought was really interesting down here, and I became obsessed with Austin, and I came down, and the reason I had even heard of KGSR is my brother went to law school here, and he would send me KGSR CDs, and
oh yeah, like know, the broadcast, Christmas.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And so I got to know all those guys and thought it was really cool and became obsessed. And then my parents were like, yo, my dad pretty much was like, yo, I have this job at this university that you're going to have to graduate before you do whatever you do. And I held true to it. And
I would love it if your dad started off things being an army guy and a guy that works at the university by going, yo.
Yeah,
yo. Yeah. he becomes did. Joe Hummel yeah. and Callie. Yo, 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 Drew. No, so sorry. Yo. So he was like, you got to finish. So you
got
to
finish. And I did.
What'd you get a degree in?
Marketing.
Hey, all right.
It was the easiest path that was not dentistry. And so I did that, and then I came down here and started trying to get people to play with me. And you know what? I remember the first time that I ever met you.
Oh, God. What did I do?
You ready for this? You were playing at Momo's.
Okay.
I was bartending.
Okay.
2004.
Okay.
Ish.
Okay.
2000.
No, I was getting a divorce that year, so whatever I might have done or said was fine. Under the influence of like alcohol.
This is funny.
Anger.
This
okay,
is funny.
Good, good, good.
So it's and you brought your band in and you guys were unbelievably loud. It was it was a rock show. I will never forget. And I had like seen you around when you had like a little bit longer hair, but then you cut it like really short.
Yeah.
And it was like it wasn't crew cut, but it was like parted.
Sometimes I do a little army
stuff. It was nice.
Stuff.
Yeah. And I was like, oh, weird. You know, I wonder what phase he's going to go through. And then he went up there and just like really slammed it. It was really loud and awesome.
Good.
Bunch of people. I got really busy as a bartender, you know. I'm like dishing out drinks, you know, having a hard time keeping up because you brought in so many people, you know. And at the end of your show, there was a bunch of people. And I didn't know it, but you had gotten behind me and my back was turned, right? And so, you know, there's a bunch of people like, hey, I need this, I need this. And I'm sure you were like, hey, I need this. And I go over my shoulder and I'm like, I'm on it. And then I didn't hear anything more about it, right? This guy, I'm trying to decide if I should even say his name. Well, I'm not going to say his name. We'll call him a booking agent in town.
Okay. I know.
Comes up. You know exactly what I'm talking about.
Yeah, yeah.
He's like, hey, man, you just badmouthed Johnny Gary. And I was like, what? I mean, like, I didn't mean to. He's like, you've got to go apologize, man. And I was like, I'm sure everything straight up. And I was like, man, I'm sure that he didn't, you know, he knew that I was busy and I'm positive it's, you know, it ain't no thing. And I mean, I remember looking at you up on the deck because I was nervous, you know, like you're an established musician.
Yeah. And I'm like 5'2"
and you're like talking just happy go lucky. And this person that we're talking about, this booking agent, has a knack, now that I know him.
Yeah.
Has a knack for drama.
Oh yeah.
Big time drama.
Sure.
And so he takes it personally that I'm not taking his advice. And also I'm like, he's going to come
really
up
busy.
And
yeah.
give me, you know, I'm going to give him his money from the door.
Right.
You know, I'm going to give Johnny Gowdy his money. Like, you know, like it's going to be, I'll make sure and mention, and then there'll be like a hug and it'll be no big deal. And he takes that offensively, which he does for a lot of things.
Yeah.
And he's like, hey man, if you ever want to play in this town again, you're going to apologize to Johnny Gowdy. And to get him out of there, I was like, okay, man, I will. Sure enough, end of the night comes, you come to get your money, and I'm like, hey, man, I think that I, you know, you may have misunderstood me. You had no idea.
Of course not. You were busy.
It was not a thing at all. And that was my first lesson of, you know what? Talk to the guys who are playing first instead of the guys who aren't playing.
Yeah.
In that particular situation, that one was pretty wild. That's the first night
that's
I ever met you.
That's very funny, man. Isn't that good? You know, I'm glad that that a good reason I started this show is because sometimes when people don't know you and they just see this real loud music thing, and I never really would talk when I played with the band much.
Oh.
I did more playing.
I like that.
You know?
I like that.
And I don't think, I think people would get this idea of what kind
you're
of
like a super tough guy
I
was.
Yeah, like it's so fucking ridiculous. I'm literally like a total nerd. You know what I mean?
For the record,
and I'm fighting for no one to notice that.
But now
I just gave into it.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. For the record, you've always been a super sweetheart
so have you
in every
been.
Situation.
And always you've always been great musician. Hey, let's talk about we're gonna play together.
Yes,
What's
we are.
What's that date? I can't remember off the top of my head. December.
Damn. I've got it in my, I'll get it while I'm talking okay. a little bit about it. So on Thursday nights, we're doing a songwriter series at 121. It's on
right.
South Lamar.
And, you know, let me go back because I'll be honest, I had a little bit of a reservation because of the location.
I'll be completely honest too. Walking into a strip mall with a club in it is
the Saxon
different.
Pub is in a strip mall though.
Yeah.
But it's an
so
old it's strip mall. So it's
Strange
it,
Brew.
Yeah, right.
So it's Strange Brew and
but there's no Starbucks in it is what kind of like freaks you out. And I go to Starbucks.
Yeah.
So what the hell is my problem? It's, I went in there, sounds fucking great, looks great, great drinks, everyone's nice.
I totally agree with that entire assessment. It is the owners are amazing.
Super nice people.
They love music. They love sharing who's playing at their club and letting people know to come out and see this band whom you may haven't heard of, and they're really great. And so I hadn't played there yet either. And me and a few guys were doing a song swap at Rattle Inn. Mm-hmm. Same guys. And I'll get to their names here in a sec, but we show up and Nathan Singleton from Sideshow is working the door. And we're like, hey, what are you doing there? And then Dustin Welch was inside. These are all guys that we run with, you know, a few years ago. And that's kind of like where they landed that night. And then me and Graham Wilkinson were coming from this thing we had just done. And it was like, and Nathan was like, hey, they're looking to do something like that here. And so we started doing Thursday nights. And it's a similar cast of people. I used to do it at Momo's too, where we would all just get up there and it'd be a cast of characters that were closely resembled me, Graham Wilkinson, Nathan, John Beckham, Dustin Welch, Jeremy Nail, whom you co-wrote my favorite song of recently, Let Me Be Your Man.
Oh, thanks.
Man, I love that song.
Love that song too. Thanks.
I
love
him
Jeremy
play
Nail.
That
He's
song.
Amazing.
Love him. And you know, we kind of, Will Webster, those are kind of like the general cast of characters where at least two or three of us will be up there each week. And then we have a special guest, which you will be on December 12th.
Yeah. December 12th.
And that's,
1-to-1 bar.
Yeah. I mean, come it's
Thursday.
It's 7 to 9.
Yeah.
It is very relaxed. It's hard to get anybody to come see a 7 o'clock show. I swear. It almost always starts a little bit slow, and then people start trickling in, and you can work on your new songs. We make up rules each time for just to be silly, you know, like, you know, let's play for this round. Let's, you know, do songs about girls leaving you or whatever.
I love that stuff.
You know?
Yeah, well, I like stuff that makes it, you know, that's the other thing, too. Is that you got to make it interesting because, as we were saying, in this day and age, when you've got so many options for entertainment just on your fucking phone, you got a guy with an acoustic guitar telling you how he feels about himself.
Yes,
it's sometimes not enough.
it is never enough.
Yeah, you got to bring a little bit of the spice.
And we're playing, bring the people in. Playing on each other's songs, you know, when we can. And,
good.
And you know, playing, bringing in new songs. And it's mm-hmm. it's for us, you know. If you can hear that, I can't believe that happened.
That's all right. Did you hear how many times my phone rings during these shows?
Well, it's really for the artists, and I hope that it catches on. I hope that they let us do it for, you know, all of next year too. We've been doing it since August, and it's just fun, you know. On let me tell you who else is going to be here too. I know Susanna Schoffel is going to do it on the 19th.
What?
Which is awesome, right? Gordy Quist from Band of Heathens is going to do it on the 5th. So we got for when do you think this is going to go out, Johnny?
Tuesday.
So the November 21st, Brian Bacon from Milk Drive is going to do it.
See that.
And then December 5th, Gordy Quist. December 12th, Johnny Gowdy.
Yes.
December 19th, Susanna Schoffel.
Whoa.
And just, you know, it's... it's really fun, and
the Lonely Choir. You're doing some shows.
We are, so
they
produce the Wheeler Brothers record, and they're going to be playing at the Paramount on November 30th, and Lonely Choir is going to get together to open up for that show.
What?
Yeah, it should be really, really fun. It should be really fun.
So you're going to play the Paramount?
Yeah.
And you waited till the end of this show to bring that up.
I know.
Hopefully people enjoyed our conversation enough to sit through it.
I hope so, too. Wonder how many people we reached. But that's how it is.
So the 30th you'll be at the Paramount.
Yep.
With the Lonely Choir. Yep. Every Thursday at the 1-to-1 bar with your crazy friends and a special guest.
24th at W Hotel.
24th at the W Hotel for the sessions with All the Elements. That's a free show. It's on usually, it's a Monday, right?
Sunday.
It's a Sunday. Okay, yep. It's a Sunday night. Perfect night for you know, rock guys to go out. That's, I go out on Sundays and Mondays.
It's a beautiful night to go out.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful night.
Yeah. Is there anything else I'm missing?
Nah, man.
So Sunday, November 24th, Thursday, December 12th, I'll be with you, but every Thursday at the 1-to-1 bar.
Yes.
And then if you're going to the Paramount on the 30th, to see the Wheeler Brothers, you will be surprised by Drew Smith.
That's the truth.
Yeah.
Man, it's been a pleasure talking with
you. This has been great. I like talking to you. And I'm glad I was always nice to you.
Me too. Me too.
And you've always been nice. So I'm glad that this is happening. And I'm going to go see you play tonight, even though this will be in the past when they hear it.
Rock and roll history has already happened.
Yeah.
The second you're hearing this in your ears.
Yeah. And congratulations on being married and having your daughter Lucille.
Thanks, man.
Yeah.
I really appreciate it. We're very excited.
All right. Drew Smith. You sleep from the liquor and the pillows too. All right. Drew Smith. Hey, don't forget to get out there. I saw them that night, and it was really great. On whenever I did that interview, I went out and saw them that night. It was a fantastic show. And then I am going to go again this Sunday, November 24th, at the W Hotel. It's a free show. I think it, you know, around 8 or 9 or something it starts. Look it up. You can find it on Facebook. You can do that. All right, Drew Smith and the Lonely Choir, and also his band All the Elements. Get out there, find that music, get into it, get into some Drew Smith. I'll be playing with him on December 12th. We talked about that. So get out there and see that. Movember's making my face itch. It's making my face itch, people. I'm so glad I got my computer back. That was a really harrowing experience. You guys, you know, I lost a lot of photos. I lost a lot of music. I'm trying to figure out, does anyone out there know how to get music off your iPod? Because I know I've got a lot of it on my iPod, like my own stuff. I don't know, you know, like I make demos and then I dump them out. Oh, God. What did I do? Okay. Hey, thank you guys for listening. Don't forget, subscribe to us on iTunes and follow me on Twitter and on Instagram. I'm at Johnny Gowdy. Like our Facebook page, How Did I Get Here? And here, we were talking about All the Elements. Why don't you check out this song by All the Elements? And maybe we'll see you at the W. Let's get down.